Anyway, good morning. I always fight with these things. They are never to my standard, you know. But it's good to see you. I love this early morning service because I like to be awake early in the morning. Later in the afternoon, I kind of just float by and I operate on fumes and grace. And then somewhere I get a second wind and then I cause all sorts of mayhem. Bernie, it's good to see you. Bernie has not been well over the last 2 weeks. And so can we just stretch our hands to Bernie. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to heal his body, Lord, as he's come out of this flu, cold, whatever you want to call it. And Father, we thank you, Lord, and we just speak life over him. And we just speak complete healing over you, Bernie, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jason, if you were here for prayer, Jason prayed about no agendas. And I was sitting there and I heard no genders. So I said, no, we need to keep male and female. All the other genders. He said all no genders. I'm like, what are you saying? God created man, women, you know. Just saying. Anyway, so we've been talking about sustenance this month in August. What or who sustains us? And last week, the service, 8 o'clock service, Tim spoke on the Lord of the Harvest. Catch that on YouTube. It was a very good talk. Really, really good in terms of what have you sown and your harvest is out there. Your harvest is coming. And it was a wonderful talk. Even in his gingerly state, because Tim has hurt his back a little bit. And it was really, really cool just to see him and the Lord just strengthen him through that talk. But catch it on YouTube. Because there is a strength available to us when we step into the purposes of God. There's a strength that sustains us as we walk in obedience to his calling. When we step into his purposes, we're literally stepping into his heart because we're in rhythm with God. We're in rhythm with the creator of the universe. And that's where he sustains us. When we go after the desires he has for us, because God has desires for us. He has purposes and plans for us. And all we need to do is to say, Lord, what are your plans for me? And I want to step into that. And as we step into those desires and plans, God sustains us. So today, just so you know, know where we're going, we're going to talk about Psalm 62. We will talk about three S's, not sleeping or springboks or sandwiches. No. These are different S's. And after yesterday, we definitely don't want to talk about springboks. Hallelujah. I heard that, hallelujah. Peace be with you, my brother. Charlie Brown will get a mention out of Peanuts. Fascinating strip. You got to read those things, man. They are anointed. And then we'll end with the rhythms of grace. So if you have your Bible with you, failing which a Christian will be close to you, turn with us to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word edifies, that your word sustains, that your word gives life, Lord. And as we share out of your word this morning, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you change our hearts? Will you draw us to be more like you, Lord Jesus? Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 62. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I'll never be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they're only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they've done. There's so many themes in this psalm. And almost every verse has got a sermon locked in there. As I read this in the week, I'm like, man, almost every verse I can actually, there's a sermon in all of this. But when I read the psalm, there's three themes that I can highlight, three things that come out of this psalm. And they become sort of essentials as we go and we grow towards Christ-likeness. Silence, solitude, and surrender. The three S's. See, God wants to restore us into our relationship with Him back to the original design. As we go through life, you know, we're born in sin. And as we continue, even though we give our lives to Christ, the enemy still wants to come and distort that reality or distort that truth and bring lies up against us and bring accusations against us. But we're in process. We're becoming. We are not yet what we ought to be. We will only see perfection when we're with Christ. When we cross over after this life, we see perfection. I always say to my family, one day I will be perfect. And they start laughing. Like, no, we know you. But I will. When I'm with Christ, I will be perfect. But in the meantime, we still got to live this life. You know, we still got to navigate through all its complexities and all its struggles and all its stuff. And that's where we need to be sustained. And sustenance, or to be sustained, comes from spending time with God. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to build relationships. If only there was. If only life was an Instamatic camera. You remember those cameras? I think they've made a comeback recently. But, you know, you take a pic and then the thing comes out. They are fantastic. But relationships don't work like that. I can't take a picture of Jason and then I know everything about him. You know, I've got to spend time with him. Normally over something to eat, because Jason likes bread and food and stuff. I don't so much. But it's the same with God. You know, for those of you who are married, you didn't just meet your wife or your husband and go, I know everything there is to know about you. It takes time. Got to spend time together. So let's talk about silence. So from the very first verse, it says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. And then it's repeated in verse 5, almost more directional, more, yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. And the Hebrew description of that verse 1 and verse 5 translate a little bit differently. It sounds more like, my soul wait in silence for God alone. The word there is used, damam, which is a Hebrew word, which means to be silent or to be immovable in Elohim alone. It's to be quiet and firmly fixed on God. It is a confidence that God will deliver us because our salvation comes from Him. And silence is not an easy thing to achieve. Believe me. Ek hou van praat, man. I bubble. I can I really can. Because, you know, and we're surrounded by noise. You know, try and be silent. Try and intentionally be silent. It's not always that easy. Because, you know, there's noise. There's birds outside. There's the humming of the fridge. There's the humming of what's inside the fridge. There's the vibration of a phone. There's a car driving by. All of these things create noise. And these are just the external noises. I'm not even talking about the internal noises. The roar of the stomach. You know, the flow of wind. All sorts of things happen. But one, you can choose to be silent. It's not easy. You know, when I do disciplinary hearings, you get those eager, let's call them accused. They want to chip in and they want to talk and they want to... You know, the guy's trying to explain, yes, but, you know, they want a button. And I always say to them, you've got two ears instead of, you know, instead of one. You've got one mouth, you've got two ears. Listen twice as much as you speak. That's not always that easy. But we've become so accustomed to background noise. It's like the first thing I do is I get into, sometimes even before I get into the car, I've already got a playlist going. It must just not be quiet. And I switch the car on, and then music starts to play, and I'm like, yay. Or the radio plays, because I need noise. Because silence can be awkward. They wouldn't call them awkward silences. You know, and sometimes that silence, it's almost like we want to avoid it. It's like the great philosopher T.S. Eliot said, humankind cannot bear very much reality, because in silence, often, we have to face reality. It's not that easy, because silence makes us vulnerable. But I want to propose today that there's a silence that is healthy and sustaining and God-focused. And it comes to us in that very first verse of the psalm. It says, my soul finds rest. So I can face those thoughts. I can face all those noises because my soul, my innermost being, my innerlijke binnestes, just that's a big Afrikaans word, innerlijke binnestes, my insides find rest in God alone. And I found it useful these days that to create that silence, I actually just imagine Jesus sitting next to me on the couch and I start to speak to him. It drowns out the other noises very quickly. And I'm not making a noise and I'm not speaking to avoid the silence. It's to be focused on him. I start to speak to him, even in the car. Switch off the radio and I start speaking to him. So when I heard my old car, there wasn't Bluetooth and all this other stuff. So when I try to do that, it kind of looks weird that you're talking to somebody but there's nobody sitting next to you. It feels a bit awkward. But you know, at some point I just didn't care anymore because I'm speaking to my father. Who cares if the world can see him or not? I'm speaking to my dad. And I've often had these moments where I've allowed this to happen and I've allowed to speak to him that way. And then all of a sudden the Lord starts showing me some stuff. And I have these, aha, that's what it means. Aha, that's what I need to do. Ah, I see, Lord. I'll give you a biblical example of silence. In Exodus 14, the Israelites are leaving Egypt and Pharaoh set them free. So they wander off into the desert, but then God hardens Pharaoh's heart. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh goes like, what have we done? We've set our slaves free. We've set our employees free. What are we going to do? So he decides, saddle up the horses. There's a song, saddle up your horse. Dr. Muller would know that song. But they saddle up the horses. They get the chariots together. They get the guns out. They phone Arnold Schwarzenegger and they says, we're going to go catch those oaks. We're going to get them. And all of a sudden, the Israelites are surrounded by the Egyptians. They're there, and they panic. The Israelites are like, why did you take us out of Egypt? We knew it was too good to be true. We'd rather go back to Egypt than die in the desert. Let's go back. Have you ever been in that situation where, when trouble came, you thought, I should never have done that. I should never have left my old job or the people who abused me. Maybe it should have been better for me to stay there. What am I going to do now? But listen to what Moses tells the people in the middle of this panic in verse 13 and 14 of Exodus 14. He says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. You'll only need to be still. The New American Standard version of the Bible, which is the one you should be reading, I'm just saying, because Donald Trump, no. It translates the verse differently. It says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And that word silent is kodesh in Hebrew, meaning to bear silently. And basically Moses was telling them, stop complaining, stop whining. It's in the stillness and it's in the quiet place where God will fight your battles. In my life, I've had moments where I want to react and I want to respond and I want to write a strongly worded letter and I just have the sense, silence. Don't respond. Don't react. Don't do anything. I will fight the battle for you. And every single time, it's exactly what the Lord did. He's fought the battle. I didn't have to do anything to flex my muscles. The little muscle I have left, but you know, flex my muscle. Let's talk about solitude. Our solitude and silence are very closely linked. And solitude is not a word that is used often. It basically just, in its very simplistic form, in the dictionary, it just means to be alone. Now, for the introverts among us, it's the dream, solitude. It's after you've been completely socially exhausted, because, you know, social settings make introverts very exhausted. That's the dream for them. For the extrovert, the word solitude is very scary. It's very outlandish, like, oh no, I need. But we can see David's confidence. He says, my salvation, my hope, my refuge comes from God. And that's a confidence that comes from waiting on the Lord in solitude and in silence. It's lessons we learn from spending time in the presence of the Lord. And spending time that way with the Lord is where we can grow. I'm not talking about taking snacks to the side. You know, you'll grow in another way if you take snacks with you. But this is where you can be open, where you can bear it all. Because he knows everything anyways. However, he wants us to make the decision to be open and vulnerable and fragile before him. Look what Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3, verse 24 to 28. This is fantastic. Now, if you read the chapter 3 of Lamentations, Jeremiah is complaining, man. He's talking about how hard it was with him. He lost a few teeth. You know, his hands were scraped. He was on the floor. It's a horrible thing to read. But then he says in verse 24, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Biblically speaking, solitude is a very valuable place. Alone time with God. We allow God to examine us. It's a time where we get to know God more deeply. It's a time of strengthening, a time of refreshing, sharing our deepest concerns with God. It's simply just being with the one who formed us and who loves us beyond measure and loves us beyond understanding. It's where we often shed emotional weight, where we shed trauma, where we shed the things that bind us, and we become lighter. I mean, probably the best example of solitude in the Bible was Jesus. You often find him going off into the mountain to go pray, to be alone with his Father. I mean, Luke verse 5, verse 14 says, but Jesus often withdrew, often, to lonely places and prayed. And that's not to be a silo. It's going to spend time with God. And for Jesus, it was a constant practice. Now, if it worked for Jesus, I'm sure it'll work for us. And again, it's one of the hardest things to do, to just to be, you know, for some of us it's easy because we like being alone anyways. But I can think of 100 things that can distract me in those times of just trying to be alone. Like I want to quickly catch up on a score, or what does it say in the news? What did Drickers do this morning? You know, that all that kind of thing. It's like becomes an endless loop. Like the great philosopher Charlie Brown said. Peanuts. He's a great philosopher. Sometimes I lie awake at night and I ask, where have I gone wrong? Then a voice says to me, this is going to take more than just one night. This is true. But I found one of the things that I found being very helpful, and you know, I like to be practical, in these moments is I breathe in, thank you, Lord, that you are here. And I breathe out and I go, and I am with you. Or I'd go, you are my fortress and my strength, and you are here. You can practice that. You can put biblical verses in there. You can put, Lord, I am just much, but I know that you are here. See what that does for you. Before you know it, all the other noises and the distractions just go. Let's talk about the last S, surrender. So we can do as much silence, so we can do as much solitude as we like, but if there isn't any surrender in those times, it is about as useless as a bar of chocolate in the desert. It just, you know, it'll just melt. And David gives us this instruction in verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And at the very core of that surrender is the word trust. Because we like to control. We like to be in charge. But this means to surrender our control, to surrender our circumstances, to surrender our emotions, surrender our lives, surrender your will. Because, it's not easy, because the world encourages us to be independent. You must do your own thing. I did it my way. Thank you, Frankie. Become a self-made millionaire. But God doesn't call us to blind surrender to some unknown. And I work in the legal industry, and I always like to see, put it on paper. I want to see the terms and conditions. It's important. Don't sign agreements until you understand them. Know what you're signing. But with God, when you agree to surrender to Him, there's no absolute certainty of what life will look like. It's not a picture of just bliss and perpetual bliss, and that we'll be free of troubles, and it's going to be it's just going to be maanskyn and rose, moonshine, not the drink, moonshine and roses. It's the knowledge that we put our trust in an unchangeable Father. Doesn't matter what happens to us, regardless of what happens to us, the very nature of God is true. It's consistent. It's constant. And David uses those words, rock, refuge, fortress. It's a place of safety. God is our safe place. It's where we can come and lay down our burdens and our struggles and our insecurities and our issues. We can lay down our pride, our fears, our self-reliance, our independence. And when we do that, it's like he wraps us in his safety net of love and compassion. You feel that warmth of his compassion and his love for you when you come to that place of surrender. And David writes in verse 10, he says, "Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them." And unlike people and money and material things, God doesn't fade away. David says, don't put our hearts, don't set our hearts on the things that try and pretend to be God. Don't look to earthly things to give us significance or allow them to define us or to tell us who we are. And every now and again, it's a good idea just for us to examine ourselves to say, what have we set our hearts on? Are we surrendering to something other than God? And it's not a question meant to be judgerach. It's a question meant for self-reflection. Are our hearts still set on God? And then David ends this psalm very triumphantly, and he says, "One thing God has spoken," in verse 11, "two things I have heard, power belongs to God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. You reward everyone according to what they've done. In surrender, we fall into that safety of God's eternal and unending love." It's in the surrender where we find God's strength. And so when we combine the three of them, silence, solitude, and surrender, Eugene Peterson's version of the message is a wonderful verse in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. We know this a little bit different than the other versions, but listen to this. "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Get away with me." In silence, in solitude and surrender. And you'll recover your life and you'll live freely and lightly. So my encouragement today is just seek the Lord. Make time for the Lord. And it starts small. 2-3 minutes can build up to 5. I used to go to these tent services, and the great evangelist will say he wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning and he prays to 7. God bless you, man. If you can do that, wonderful. It's awesome. I have fallen asleep with the Bible in very many different ways trying to do that. And I feel terrible afterwards. I feel the Lord will judge me for it. But he doesn't. Every time we can get to spend with the Lord, he's welcoming. He's there. He's waiting for you. He wants us to spend time. And it's a few minutes, it's okay. Spend time with the Lord. Get to know Him. Get to know His unforced rhythms of grace. Live light, live free. Let it go. So can I pray for us? Lord, we acknowledge today, we can't do this life without You. Father, forgive us when we've tried, when we've placed our hope and we've placed our trust on other things apart from You. Father, and today again, we come and surrender to You. And we say, Lord, have Your way in our lives. And this morning, Lord, we take that little step of faith towards You and we say, Lord, as we go closer to You, Lord, will You come closer to us and show us what intimacy with the Father looks like. Teach us, Lord, how to surrender to You. We open our hearts to You once again, Lord, and say, Lord, come and take center stage. Be the Lord of our lives this morning. Be the Lord of our families' lives, Lord. Be the Lord of Cape Town. Be the Lord of this country, Lord. Come establish Your throne on all over the world, Lord. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, as we enter into the rest of this day, into the rest of this week, Lord, may Your presence go with us. Let Your face shine upon us. Let us know You, Lord, more intimately. And let us get to know You better every single day. And Father, we bless You and we say thank You for this time, Lord, that we could share in Your word. Change us from the inside out so that we can be more like You. In Jesus' name, amen.